Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 331 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're going to be talking about ornamental vegetables. We're going to talk about how we can grow a flower garden, a beautiful garden, an ornamental garden that is edible, that we can use in our kitchens, because lots of us might find ourselves in a position where we've got a space that we don't want to look like a vegetable garden, but also we don't want it to be unproductive insofar as preparing and growing crops that we can eat in that space. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about all sorts of different types of plants that we can grow that are dual purpose, that look amazing, can look beautiful, and also give us something to eat. Because for me, that's what it's all about in the garden. That's not to downplay the utility of flowers and growing flowers just for their beauty. But for me personally, that's not what I want to get out of my garden. I want to get that amazing produce for the kitchen. So before we get into that, I want to apologise because I did promise you a draw on Friday for a book giveaway. That's going to be this Friday now. I do apologise for that. And we're going to be giving away Jeff Hamilton from Gardener's World Practical Gardening Course, the complete book of gardening techniques. And it is another really lofty tome, a nice big book. It's about A4 size. Nearly 400 pages, and it covers everything, all of the usual stuff, greenhouse vegetables and how to care for trees and soft fruits and all those kinds of things. But it also has lots of garden projects and know-how and how to make some, you know, stone paths and all those kind of things, how to build a pond. It's got loads and loads of garden projects. It's a fantastic book, and that will be given away on Friday to a lucky patron. If you'd like to be included in that draw, all you have to do is become a patron of the show at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. Right, I'm going to, as you guys are all aware, I've been incredibly busy moving house, doing lots of work on the house. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, we're going to be having an episode on Wednesday, which is all about that. Alan from the Homesteading UK podcast has already recorded that episode with me. He asked me the questions about my house move, and there's lots of content from me on YouTube around that as well. Otherwise, I'm going to keep the rest of this week's shows today and Fridays free of that kind of stuff beyond that cursory mention just there. Right, let's start talking about ornamental vegetables. And we can start anywhere you like, because there really is lots and lots of choice. We've got perennials, we've got annuals, we've got climbers. There's so much choice that we don't need to think that we're really limited if we did want a nice big garden of beautiful plants that are also edible. Well, let's start with the perennials, because I think they are closest to my heart. And if you're going to start setting out a garden and planning that way, then perennials are going to be the first things you want to establish and sort of plan around. One of the ones that we've got here that we actually introduced where we're living at the moment are daylilies. And you quite often see them along roadsides and in people's front gardens. They spring up everywhere and they're self-propagating. They will kind of spread. Sometimes they're considered weeds, depending on where they are and how they're checked. But you can eat the leaves, not too much of the leaves, because they contain lots and lots of oxalic acid, I think. But you can eat the leaves, and they're a bit like onion tasting. And the flowers are also delicious and can be added to things like salads or soups or even stuffed like you would the blossom of a squash plant. And you can use the flower buds in stir fries. And even the roots are actually edible and delicious. So what you could do with these is grow a patch. And in order to stop them spreading too much, just harvest around the edge of that patch as they spread, or selective harvesting over time of those roots, and use them like you would most other tubers. That's a great, beautiful plant that you can have in your garden and harvest for the kitchen as you see fit. Now, another one that sometimes people overlook for their edibility is roses. Of course, we can harvest the hips and make all sorts of rose hip things in the kitchen, rose hip teas, and also rose hip ketchups, which are delicious. They're something I haven't done for a long, long time, but I will probably get round to doing some fairly soon after we move, because they're one of the things that we can harvest from the wild. There's going to be very little that I'm going to be harvesting from my garden for a little while. So some rose hip ketchup, I think, could well be on the menu. And of course, rose petals are also edible. And I love any kind of petal as an adornment for salads. There really is no excuse never to have flowers in your salads all year round. There's something out there available. Now, carrying on with our perennials, one that you will have thought about and heard of is artichokes, globe artichokes. They have these amazing, beautiful flowers. They're a really robust plant that can offer some real structure to a garden bed. If you had two or three globe artichoke plants that are doing really, really well, they're going to add this amazing structure to a bed and also give this beautiful burst of colour when they're in flower. Now, something else that you can think about using for their beauty when they're in flower is beans. I every single year we grow broad beans, and I always comment to my wife how beautiful the flowers are. There's a particular type of runner bean that are particularly beautiful, and that is scarlet runner beans. Now, both of these, again, can be, no, sorry, not both of these, the runner beans can be grown as a perennial, if you leave all the roots and everything intact in the ground and a little bit protected from the harshest of the frosts. They will come back year on year with the scarlet runner beans. So beans are something that, again, you could add to the back of a decorative bed and could give you that height that you might want. Talking of height, there's something else to consider. Now, this isn't one that is a perennial, but I'm going to quickly slip it in here while we're talking about height. And I'm thinking of elephant garlic. Now, not necessarily if you're going to harvest the bulbs, but if you're going to harvest some seed, then you can grow elephant garlic bulbs and they will send up this enormous flower spike with this giant globe of flowers on the top that really is stunning. And again, two or three of those could be a real statement piece in a flower bed, and they'd look fantastic, and you could harvest the seeds to grow garlic the following year from them. While we're still on perennials, rhubarb is another plant that I love. And again, if you had a herbaceous border where you were growing things like shrubs and herbs in, then a great use for that space would be a rhubarb plant. The stems are beautiful and flashy and beautifully tasty as well. So rhubarb definitely has a place as an ornamental beyond just its place as an edible. One of the other plants that you might buy from the nursery and want to put into your bedding areas around your garden are pansies. They're a member of the violet family, and all pansies are edible. So you might want to just be aware of where you're buying them so they haven't been sprayed with chemicals and what have you. But the flowers can be added to salads again, and you can even candy the flowers to make desserts or decorate cakes. So pansies are just one of the many, many edible flowers that we can talk about, just like chrysanthemums. Chrysanthemums are all edible as well. Some of them don't taste particularly nice, so it's worth doing a bit of research on which one you might want to fit your goal. But there should be something that'll work. It all depends on what you're going to use it for, whether you're going to use the edible flowers, whether you're going to use the greens, because you can eat all parts of the chrysanthemum, or whether you're going to make tea from them. But chrysanthemum is an option. And while we're talking about flowers, now we're away from perennials, but Nasturtiums. Nasturtiums are absolutely fantastic. I love them. They're so easy to grow. They will self-seed and come back year after year if you let them. And they're absolutely delicious. The chrysanthemums, nasturtiums. We're off chrysanthemums. Keep up, Carl. The nasturtiums that we grow here have beautiful, stunning red flowers. And even the leaves are really, really attractive. This lovely deep green with sort of white veining in. They're an absolutely beautiful plant and they go really, really well in salads. The leaves are just so peppery and zingy. I love them. Absolutely love them. So, like I say, you've got the leaves there for salad greens, the flowers as well. And you can also take the seeds and pickle them just like you would with capers. So there's a lot to like about nasturtiums. They're also a common plant used to help pest control because they are said to deter some of the pests away from your vegetable garden. So that's our first sort of set, if you like. And next up, I want to talk about climbers because, again, we're really spoilt for choice with climbers. And if you imagine you've got a lovely sort of vegetable slash ornamental garden, maybe you've got some trellis behind it and you could grow some climbers up there. And one of the first ones to consider is honeysuckle. Honeysuckle is a really, really vigorous plant, so it'll take no time at all to get up over that trellis. And the flowers really, really are delicious. Honeysuckle is one of those plants that I will forage for the flowers of and we'll have them as a side dish, like with a main meal, or we'll have it as part of a salad, or you could just eat them straight off the plant. So yeah, honeysuckle is a really top one for me. If I'm going to be growing anything that I want to be an edible ornamental, then honeysuckle is definitely going to be on my shortlist. We've got lots of other vines and climbers. So next up, let's talk about passion fruit. So passion fruit, we're all familiar with the passion flower. Well, the passion flower will eventually become a passion fruit if you're lucky, if you got a warm enough climate. So there are some hardier varieties, slightly more suited to a temperate climate, but you'd have to check what's going to work best for you. But definitely the passion flower is worth having in its own right just for the look of it. And of course, the edibility of the plant is just an advantage that adds to that and makes it worth considering for your garden. Now, there's another large plant that I skipped over earlier when we were talking about our jumbo garlic and what have you. And that is the Jerusalem artichoke. Now, the Jerusalem artichoke, we've grown here for a little while, and it's got another common name, sunchokes, because it grows almost like a sunflower. It grows really, really tall, and then puts out, rather than one giant sunflower flower, it puts out lots of little sunflower-type flowers, and they're really gorgeous, lovely and yellow. And of course, you've got the Jerusalem artichokes under the ground. Now, these, some people, they're not perennials, but some people consider them perennials because they grow in the same way as potatoes. So the tuber will put off lots of other little tubers, and that's what you harvest. And it's almost impossible to harvest them all. So they will just self-propagate without you having to try. Because like I say, you will attempt to harvest them all, and you'll never, ever get them. It's worth mentioning as well, if you've got a bigger space and we're talking about structure, you know, things like plum trees and all of the fruiting trees have beautiful blossom and they should definitely be considered for an ornamental space. Perhaps a fig. Figs are a great tree because they don't need a huge amount of space in the ground. They actually do really, really well if you confine their roots. So you can grow a fig tree in a decent sized pot quite happily. So figs is another option. What else? There's so many more just coming to me as I speak to you. Kiwis is something we haven't mentioned. I love kiwis. We've attempted to grow kiwis here a couple of times with no success, but you can grow kiwis in this country in the temperate climate, I have been told. The variety we attempted was Jenny, and I think we will try it again at some point in the future when we're not quite so busy, because it's something I'd love to actually get growing in our garden. Kiwis are a fruit we all love. And of course, they're another beautiful climbing plant. So you really are sport for choice. Grapes, I haven't mentioned. I mean, we could go on and on and on. So don't be put off by the idea of wanting an ornamental garden and thinking either you can't have that because you want to grow vegetables, or you can't grow vegetables because you want to have an ornamental garden. You can have both. We haven't even mentioned yet things like herbs. Loads of herbs lend themselves really nicely to an ornamental space. Things like chives. Chives have got this lovely little tufty flower, a little bit like clover, but taller on flower spikes. And again, just look lovely wherever you put them. And so do so many other herbs. I'm thinking fennel. Fennel is another beautiful one. I love the way fennel looks when it grows. Now, not all of these plants are going to give you big, showy flowers necessarily, but how many of the plants in most ornamental borders are, you know, big, showy flowers? Usually it's a few sprinkled in among other things. So I think you can definitely plan an ornamental space based around the idea that you just want it to be edible. You want everything in there to be edible. So I'm going to leave you with those. Please do go away and give them a go. Get in touch. Let me know what I've missed from my list. And I will speak to you all on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, guys. Speak to you soon. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Herb podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.